In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe, robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cybern 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus from? Ratchet, can you take the chorus from?
All right, I think we're live, man. What's up, everybody? This is TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I am going to be hosting today. I'm Swage66, and I'm here with Cybern 2.
What's up, everybody?
And just to give you a little quick rundown, we're having a little bit of issues here adjusting to some Google settings and everything, but we're trying to get everything rolling and try to get started on time. So Duran, Weird Wolf, the host, he's still a little bit on the mend there with his tracheal passage. He's having some esophageal issues and voice box faultiness. So we're going to kind of... We're going to kind of carry the load without our dude, so everybody wish him well. Hopefully he can get back soon and see what we can get together for you tonight on Tuesday. And as always, we are brought to you by Captured Prey. You want to do the hook?
Great prices, great... Hold on.
Oh, come on. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Boom, there it is again, saving the day.
I knew I missed the toys, and I was like, hold on a second.
Man, you and that mustache. Anyway, so yeah, man, it's kind of weird over here. We got no Duran, we got nobody, man. It's just us, two mics, chilling out. You know, no gay stuff, just, you know, touching wieners, touching butts. Or at least I know Cyber might be. I mean, I just do my thing. I look, I don't touch too much. So, yeah, we got Duran over here. He's typing in as we go. So it's going to be a little hard for us to follow for anybody listening live.
Like a cripple.
As far as keeping up with the YouTube comments, if there are any, we have no idea at this point. But we'll try to keep an eye on the Twitter feed. So you can always do that. TFYLP or mine is at RealedRobot. You got one, Cyber? You on the Twitter? The Twitter?
I am at iBloodstormI.
Hell did you just say?
iBloodstormI.
Oh, okay.
It's Bloodstorm between two eyes.
All right, there we go. So, yeah, if you want to get with us, probably best bet is going to be Twitter. Also, I'm sure Weird Wolf will be keeping an eyeball on some things, too, for us. So, hopefully, we'll get some good feedback. So, we want to start off with what? Ouch, my wallet?
Sure thing.
All right, well, go ahead, man.
All right. So I teased this in the last and Friday's episode. Come on. Stay on. All right. Not cooperating. So, all right. Praying. Gosh dang it.
Man.
I got him on Amazon on Thursday. I was not lucky enough to get him for $50, but I got him for $79.99, which is still cheap enough. Yeah, I always wanted them because they're the original Predacons, and, you know, I'm the Beast Wars guy. So,
right.
They have a place amongst my collection.
So did you get blessed with the no shipping box, just a label on the...
No, I was very glad to see that it came in a big old Amazon box and was not defaced. So I got a nice minty box that's going to go in a closet and be forgotten about.
How often do you get nice minty boxes? Often enough? Not often enough?
No. Not the often world, enough.
The world wants to know. You're a young guy, got a mustache, and you got nothing? Come on, man.
I just got my first job. Well, I got my second job, but my first job didn't pay a lot. So,
man, girls don't care about jobs, bro. What are you talking about? They're like, oh, you get drunk all day and beat the crap out of me and ain't got no job. I love you. I love you. I love your babies.
Now, if only this stupid foot would stay on Headstrong. Stay.
What? Show the world your issues here. Let's get a close up of that.
It just, oh, very very loose.
Mm-hmm. So it has KFC syndrome, where once you take it on or put it on one time, it's useless.
Stay. I guess as long as he's standing on it, it stays on his foot.
All right, then. What else you got? Anything? You could have split that up into five figures. That's what you should have done, man. We got two people.
That's true.
So, Let's go individual now. I paid $984 for this one, which is the left foot.
So, I got this guy. As easy as these are to transform, this is still going to take forever.
You ain't got to just put up to the camera, man. Come on. Work with me here. Work with me.
The camera is so high. Darn you, computer screen, why you gotta be so big?
Oh my gosh.
So we, what, Rampage? That's true. So he's orange and red.
Let's go individual now.
He's got short arms.
He's orange and red.
there you go. He's orange and red, with some black. We got another arm. In the form of, come off.
You want me to come back to you, man? Would that make you feel a little more at ease?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
Excellent radio.
It is. You have no idea what's about to happen here. So for my ouch, my wallet, I got an old order in from none other than site sponsored Captured Prey. And this was one. Got Smart Robin.
Great toys, great prices, great service.
No, I was getting to that. See? Now you messed it all up. But here's this guy. And he's gorgeous. I love the Toy World bigger one. But the more I look at this one, the more I'm liking it. Especially for cheaper. That's definitely a good thing.
For cheaper, that's always a good thing.
Yeah. So there's the head. Put your face in your face! What do you think of that? So there's that little fella. And then I got two of the missing Stunicons that I was waiting on. Last Chance. That little fella there for Fans Projects Menasor. And Downforce. I haven't got to open these ones up yet. Because, I don't know if you remember on the last podcast on Friday, I hadn't quite worked my way around of this bad boy, which was my Mobine armor, because I was getting a little too aggravated with the PCC because I never messed with it.
Nice.
And thank you. What ended up being the issue was part of his torso here just flips up like his shoulders flip, and yeah. it was so tight I thought it was just like a break point or something, so I didn't really tug on it too hard, and then I just was like, screw this thing, man, I'm busting it open.
Oh, I felt like that all day today, messing with Predaking.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, you could definitely see. I'm gonna show this one off a little bit. I have him swapped around a little bit here. So there's the one shoulder. There's the paint apps on that. And, of course, it's reversible. You can flip it over, and then it has, like, you know, regular-looking missile launchers there. It's got a big, gigantic rifle, which I love, personally. I mean, I like big weaponry. What can I say? So there's the leg. There you go. Got some nice little paint apps. And he definitely fits Bomb Shock real nice. Fits with the green, with that yellow. Got nice yellow highlights on there as well. The one weird thing, though, is this little dude. It kind of like, I don't know if it's supposed to go this way. You can kind of do whatever. Hmm. But there's all kinds of little stuff. And then underneath his hands here, he's got little turret guns. They almost look like tiny actual Tommy gun sized on a big gigantic tank. Kind of weird. It does also come with two larger ones of these, but for some reason, like these hands pop right out. But the larger turrets do not fit into that slot. They are supposed to be used with some of the leg pieces for some of the smaller drone tank style assemblies. But overall, totally sweet. Really glad I got this Faded Lazarus again. Got to give him a shout out. And, let me think here, my other one that came in with this order, real robot style, is I got my SG Rhino Horn, the purple deco, gold weapons. I don't know if you guys can see all these. But the cool thing about these is there's so much articulation, like even with his neck. The horn swivels and does its thing. And this is probably KFC's most stable mold, whereas some of the other ones seem to be kind of quirky. But this one, the weapons are all built in. There's nothing loose. Everything's all attached. So speaking of cassettes and speaking of Captured Prey, we're still trying to run strong with the 100th subscriber giveaway, which is a KFC Iron Paw, which will be provided to you by Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Get it. That's what I'm saying. Get you some free cassette flavor. And, yeah, all you got to do is subscribe, check out the show, check out tftalk.net and the Twitter and Facebook, and all the details will be on there as far as everything you need to get going and be eligible for that. But basically, you do 20 seconds of work, and, you got potentially a $25, $30 toy just in the mail right to you. So definitely go for that, and Iron Paw. If you're not familiar, I don't know how you can't be, but he is the KFC third-party version of Steeljaw. So,
because some people don't care, yeah. Mike. Because some people don't care.
Well, I don't care about people that don't care. But yeah, so we got one winner coming up with that. After we get 100 subscribers, we're going to go ahead and pick a name out of a hat or whoever's mom to be the most serviceable at that time of appointment. And apps can sway the judges. But I'm pretty sure it's just going to be random. It seems like random is the key around here. So I would bank on random after we get to 100.
There's no such thing.
But either way, you do a little. Really, there's no such thing as coincidences. Random is totally different, my friend.
No, there's no such thing as random. It's all math.
So, how you doing over there in Predaking, partner?
I got 4 out of 5 in robot mode. So,
4 out of 5.
Yeah. I'm just down to the big guy. So we got some Dive Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
He's orange and black and also red. It turns out that is a common theme through all these guys.
Wow.
we got some gosh, see, look at this. This is annoying. His feet just Headstrong, you're the worst. Or not. Yeah, this is Headstrong. So, Headstrong. He also gold, red, black, and actually, there is no orange on him. He breaks the mold. And he falls backwards. I hate him. Headstrong, you're the worst. Stan!
It'll be okay, fella. All right, come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Then we got Tantrum. He's ugly, but, he's a bull.
He's a bull.
He's tall. He's very tall. And then still not done anything with his, Razor Claw. I just dropped Perkins' head on the ground. we'll get to that.
You should be at that. What's wrong with
you? I am at that, but then you didn't talk enough about your toys.
All right, well, I could keep going. So, in case you didn't know, if you get a KFC cassette, they come with a bio card, art card, whatever everybody wants to call them. I don't know the popular thing. I don't really care. I call it what I call it. And I know everyone's going to love this, the uber popular pink cassette cases. Straight out of the Takara idea box, which they started doing with the Masterpiece releases. Nothing inscribed, just nice and plain. These actually make really sweet Energon Cube displays if you don't want to put your cassette in there. Because personally, I don't really happen to like those because if you display as a cassette, you can't actually see anything on the cassette. Especially with the Masterpiece ones, they have some really nice tempo apps. So I don't really understand why they make a case you can't actually see it. But either way, you get a case to keep it in there. You know, if you want to throw it at somebody's face and you don't want the cassette actually breaking at that point, you know, you got some options there. And let me think here. Yeah, I think as far as my ouch my wallet, that's where I'm at. Pretty slow week. My orders, like I said, were all not pile of looted, but waiting on pre-orders. These items were all waiting on Smart Robin to come in. So that's why I got these.
So, all right.
Boom. Do it.
There you go. Razor Claw. He's got stumpy arms.
Stumpy arms.
Yeah, like the shortest I've ever seen on a robot.
What are you trying to say about that? What does that mean?
That means he has a hard time beating it. That's what that means.
Now, does Headstrong happen to have a small tab that flips out on the back of his feet to help stabilize him more?
I'm going to check that out right now.
I mean, since you pointed it out.
Ah, he does.
And everyone is like, oh my god, I can't buy that. Ease the public's mind, Sideburns.
Well, he's still...
He still
falls backwards. Because it's very loose.
Man. You kind of ruined my life with that. You can't fix that? Nothing?
My Headstrong, you're all sorts of mess.
Alright, so we're getting word in that we might be joined by another member, Mirai Baby. Could possibly be hopping up in the pot here. So hopefully we could do that. Otherwise, I'm probably going to kill Sideburn too. Not only for his mustache, but for his really crappy predicating that won't work correctly or stand. And his mustache. I can't stress enough how much I hate the mustache. Not personal. Just, it's in my genes, man. It's in my genes. So, getting on to the topic today, you want to go ahead and lead us into that one, Mr. Beast Mode?
Sure thing, Mr. Cassette Tape Guy.
You wish.
Holy crap. I have a dog going Beast Mode behind me.
Oh, well.
This isn't the first time my dog has interrupted this podcast with an obnoxious guest.
You probably have to put him
down. Gosh dang it, I hate you, Headstrong. I'm turning him into a robot. I'm Beast Mode. So, on the topic of Beast Modes, the topic is vehicles versus Beast Modes. And I, of course, am for the Beast Modes. And my challenger here will be for Vehicle Modes for some reason. Though, I think he should be arguing for inanimate objects.
I do what I want. That's what I argue for.
He does what he wants, guys. He does what he wants. Alright. Hold on. I almost have Headstrong. Okay. He will never be in robot mode again. He's beast mode. Okay. Gosh dang. So...
You're killing me, son. You're killing me.
Alright. So, beast modes versus vehicle modes. I'm going to pose my argument first, because I've been making this argument ever since I got on message boards and started fighting with G1ers. Beast modes just make more sense. Up until recently. And my argument here is that because they are robots in disguise, it helps for them to turn into something that doesn't draw so much attention. Like a car without a driver. Especially motorcycles. Motorcycles are freaking dumb. Now, beast modes, what do they offer? They offer instant camo. And they can move around without suspicion. And they're freaking animals. I mean, come on. Who doesn't like animals?
Okay, all right. So I'm gonna.
I can drive a car every day. I can't be an animal.
You can't drive an elephant any day.
I don't live in India.
Well, see, this is one of my issues with the animals, is that other than cassettes, which always get a pass, you know, most of the storylines are going to take place, you know, well, more updated, I guess you could say, but in the cities and populated areas, everything was based on being able to cloak as being an item. You know, Soundwave, he turns into a cassette player. You know, nobody's going to look at that. Or a car. Yeah, but, you know, they could do the hologram thing or tinted windows. I mean, stuff like that. Or if they're just not moving, you know, that would essentially be the goal for that. But then, you know, you got stuff like planes, jets. Nobody in their right mind is going to be like, oh, I could see the pilot of that jet. That's a fake jet.
Except for the FAA.
Yeah, but the FAA doesn't follow a jet around like, oh, yep, there's two pilots. Better make sure.
Yeah, but they know everything that's in the sky. And if you have,
no, they don't. But
you have a plane flying around in the sky that doesn't have the proper receivers, then it's going to be like, shoot the thing down. It's an enemy.
Yeah, but, you know, you're making it more simple, and it's one of those weird things. Is it, once you assume a certain thing about having a vehicle, you know, you got to assume they have some sort of, supposedly, you know, these are the most advanced robots in the world or universe or whatever, you know, they're going to have something to cloak themselves from normal detection. So,
Perchance.
And hey, for the four people that dropped off our podcast, I just want to say, I hope you enjoy your chicken nuggets the rest of the night while we're sitting here dropping bombs of knowledge and total entertainment, sacrificing everything you can think of other than actual personal safety. Our pride is on the line here. And, you know, Sideburn, he's dwindled down. Party King is breaking him down. Yeah. So anyway, for the guys that haven't left us yet, nice. Stay here. Give me a hug. That's right. So for you, you're kind of saying a rat, you know, an elephant, a gorilla, are more useful as far as obtaining information and invisibility, as opposed to things that would be found inside of buildings or populated areas where people actually go with information they would actually need, correct?
Well, I mean,
how much would a gorilla help if someone needed to infiltrate a satellite?
In space?
Anywhere. A satellite, on a building, a computer.
Have you watched King Kong?
See, he doesn't transform. All he does is...
But this is under the context of them having to gather information. They're just hiding. And I say, you ain't gonna notice a dog walking around. Albeit, he's a tiny robot. You aren't gonna notice him more than the car that moves on its own. Or the car that's sitting there forever and has a bunch of parking tickets.
So you've obviously never, ever seen any of these things in real life. You've never seen a car booted or just chilling out on the street, never moved. Where do you live, man? Where do you live?
I've
seen that kind of stuff in Florida, man. You're crazy.
That stuff usually doesn't fly here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my thing is just like, especially when, you know, when people try to argue G1 versus anything, I mean, that was, you know, what people forget about those old cartoons is that everybody threw something together, basically, at that point. There was never, you know, they weren't thinking in 1976 or whatever that they had a 10-year plan that was going to include this super crazy plot line. You know, it was a show for kids. It was kept pretty basic. And, you know, that's how it's always going to stay, because it's kid-based.
And then they threw tentacle monsters into the mix.
They threw what?
tentacle monsters into the mix.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, basically, you know, for people that argue for G1, you know, they just want the classic thing, and that's cool. But, I mean, I think, I don't know, I got to go with robots because I don't, there's just something weird. You know, like the cassettes, they're mostly animals except for, like, Rumble Frenzy. And, I mean...
I have to go with robots, too, because all Transformers are robots.
Yeah, you see, okay. Now you're nitpicking here. But, as compared to an animal or beast mode. Because for me, the cassettes fit because, you know, especially like Razorbeak, you know, being a bird that fits into like a small cassette player, that would work. And then, which is always weird because Soundwave turns into this gigantic thing and he's supposed to be this tiny little cassette player. You know, just like a Megatron is a pistol, but then he fits in the hand of a person or a giant robot. But I do like, you know, the idea of the cassettes as animals, but for some reason, you know, I feel weird seeing a Rat Trap Deluxe figure because he's a rat, and then you know, you have a Rhino that's the same size, and I mean,
yeah.
I've heard stories about rats, but damn.
I mean, you have to suspend belief for Rat Trap's case because, you know, they didn't try to pretend he was a normal-sized rat. He was a large rat. But then, when you got animals like Rhinox or, you know, Optimus Primal, they turn into big animals, and so they can be decent-sized, you know, cassette, if not bigger, in robot mode. And in the case of, you know, the cassettes, really they're animal modes or the robot modes, and their alternate modes are the cassette. But I mean, you even have to go back to G1. I mean, I'm sitting here playing with the Predacons, and sure, I don't know, they don't make sense. They were giant robotic animals, but they didn't have to make sense. They're freaking cool. Of course, I don't think they were ever in the show. But in the case of, I mean, the Beast Wars original design that's seen on some of the Season 1 tech specs, or on the Wave 1 tech specs, was that it was the G1 characters taking up animal modes for a new level of disguise. And to me, it's just, it works better. Vehicles are, I mean, it wasn't until recently that they introduced holograms as drivers for Transformers. I mean, for the longest time, especially for, I mean, motorcycles, I always hated motorcycles as a kid. You know, they always, you know, never made sense to me.
Real motorcycles or fake ones?
No, the Transformers. Transformers turning into motorcycles. I always hated it. Because they would be like the most obvious, that's a robot, you know, there's something going on. I mean, the cars can get away with tinted windows and stuff like that. But when you got a motorcycle driving around without a driver, it makes no sense. Yeah, Hound is the exception. In G1, he used holograms because he was the guy whose power was holograms. But most of the other ones didn't. And in fact, some of them had other Transformers driving them, which made no sense at all. But it was a kid's show. So, Chad?
What's up, man?
You got any input to the beasts versus vehicles debate?
Yeah, actually, you know, G1 was what got me started because, you know, I was like 8 years old. So I'm a fan of the G1 cars and all the cars, but Beast Wars got me back into Transformers, so I'm also into those. There's, you know, and I think that that both of them bring a different dynamic that allows for a multitude of personalities to enjoy Transformers versus, you know, let's say guys who just like cars. So that's kind of what I bring to the table, at least in my honest opinion.
So what would be your favorite vehicle versus your favorite animal?
Vehicle versus animal. G1 Jazz has always been my favorite vehicle. So I would say Jazz versus Transmetal Megatron. I don't know why I think the stupid gimmicks that they put on Transmetal Megatron are just cool, and I've always liked them.
You like your T-Rexes to roller skate?
Yeah, pretty much. That's.
All right. So, what about you, Sideburn? You got a head-to-head matchup you would go for, vehicle versus beast, or do you just absolutely hate any kind of vehicle?
Oh no! I mean, this debate is for me. I like vehicles. I like my Transformers turning into cars as much as I like them turning into animals. But you know, I'm always gonna have that soft spot for animal Transformers because Beast Wars. So are we talking what makes sense, animals versus? Or car and animal, or are we talking about just...
No, just your top pick for each one. Your favorite animal versus your favorite robotic or vehicle.
A good jet transformer is always a good transformer. So I would have to probably go with that. As for animal, I don't know. It's, you know, it's been a mixed bag over the years. But anything that's a dinosaur. I mean,
anything that's a dinosaur. You gotta pick one.
Okay. A T-Rex.
A T-Rex. Alright.
A T-Rex. So, right. I mean, you can't go wrong with that because, you know, who doesn't like a Tyrannosaurus? And, you know, had some really cool characters that have been T-Rexes. Grimlock, Megatron. Well, Grimlock and Megatron. Pretty much.
Nice. Yeah, I'm actually surprised Grimlock wasn't brought up before anybody else, personally. For me, I gotta go, my favorite actual animal-based Transformer would be Laserbeak. You know, sticking to my cassette roots there. And one of the reasons, though, I gotta be honest, is Laserbeak, to me, is one of the more detailed little dudes you can find because, you know, you open him up from the cassette and he's actually got little weapons in the mold, like around his chest area. You flip him over and the bottom of his wings have molded in designs that look like even more weaponry and cannons. So that's why I'm down with him. And man, it's hard to pick a mech bot, a robot. So that one, I'm kind of stuck on that one. I think I got to go with I'm gonna go on a limb here, but I do like the tanks. I like the Megatron tanks. I remember like Armada, one of the Armada ones. I mean, like the G2s were cool, but I like the big ones. Even the weird Galvatron deco that like pink, purplish, and white and gray. I really, really like those. You know, I mean, I don't know what it is, man, but I love some tanks. So that's mine. You know, so we're gonna have two votes on Megatrons at least. So
Megatron wins. That's the podcast. Megatron wins.
Go figure. The king badass of Decepticons pulls out a W.
All right, so let me ask you this. So let's pose this question in a way of what vehicle mode makes the most sense or what animal mode makes the most sense as robots trying to conceal themselves in an urban environment. Because that was the basic premise. That's what Transformers were. They were supposed to be alien robots hiding in plain sight.
In an urban or any sort of visible environment that someone could see, because that kind of changes the game. Well, for me, I would have to go with a jet. You know, flight, you know, nobody's going to see it up close, so they're just going to hear it or just watch it zoom by. You know, they can't look into it any more than that. Other than the argument you brought up of, you know, the FAA and, you know, the Army.
Let's say observable on a day-to-day basis at, you know, below, you know, cruising altitude.
All right. Go ahead, Chad. All right, I guess we don't have Chad anymore. Well, you took my jet answer, which was the easiest to make. So, man, cars definitely, trucks. I think truck actually would make more sense than anything because it would allow. There's more bulk. You assume it would have more power. It'd be a little bit harder to see into. You know, as far as like if somebody was walking up to it or if it was driving down the road, you know, you can't always just look straight up at a driver of a big rig. So, I think I'd go with a truck, personally.
All right. And animal? If you had to pose an animal, that makes the most sense.
It had to be a cat.
A cat's not a bad one.
I mean, as much as I basically hate cats and would like to eat them for breakfast. I mean, I can't, other than, well, I mean, maybe a bird, but I mean, cats are just like, they just do whatever they want. I mean, people throw stuff at birds and nobody really messes with cats too much, unless I'm in the area.
I had to shoot one today with an airsoft gun because it was fighting with another cat outside my window.
Nice.
We got a stray cat problem in my area.
Oh, and we also, speaking of a stray cat, we have another member joining us. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's going on? I'm your new host. Do you feel lost? Do you feel lost without Duran?
A little bit.
Good. Maybe. We want you as uncomfortable as possible.
Don't say anything bad. He can see you're listening.
That's not good. That's not good for us to be lost and confused and afraid.
You're not lost and confused when Duran's here?
No, not usually.
That's the first time I'm hearing that.
All right, so we're in the middle of a quiz here. We're trying to figure out what do you think would be in an observable, visible, urban-type environment. What's the best beast mode or animal mode, essentially, for a Transformer? Not necessarily one that's been used, but just in general.
I have no idea. Is that an acceptable answer? Beast Wars is actually not my thing. I am one of the very strange people who actually dislikes Beast Wars. Not that it's bad, not that it's inherently bad, but that it is
crappy.
No. It's it's strange to me for giant robots to turn into animals. I've grown up constantly with giant robots turning into cars, and for whatever reason, I can't wrap my brain around animals.
Except for the Dinobots and the Predacons.
I don't even like them. I don't even like them.
And see, the weird thing with the Dinobots, they look more like machines.
But yeah, that's acceptable because they're actually machines. I don't even really like them all that much, but they are actually machines, whereas Beast Mode characters had fur.
Well, and you have to remember that weird. The Beast Wars characters technically aren't giant robots. They're like NBA-sized robots.
Yeah, they're regular-sized robots, which is again weird. But you know, whatever. which is totally fine. I don't know. I'm just not into the whole beast
character. All right, so.
I don't have any ones that I use.
So everyone hates Cybern.
So, and then the other question posed is, for a vehicle that would be the least, you know, you would think least about if you saw it driving around, you wouldn't question its legitimacy as an actual vehicle. Same question as the animal, but with vehicles.
So, which makes the best disguise for a Transformer?
Yeah,
pretty much.
To go unnoticed in an urban environment.
Cholo van?
Cholo van.
At least around here. Yeah, I
give you that one, Cholo van.
Around here, yeah, some Oldsmobile that's been lifted 4 inches off the ground, yeah. Out here, yeah, probably. Something beat up. Even Bumblebee, honestly, like G1 Bumblebee, yeah, would totally be pretty obscure out here.
All right, so Swage, I'm gonna give you Cat because that's what I was gonna say. Those mangy things are everywhere, and no one pays them any mind because, you know, you see 100 of them a day. But as for vehicles, I'm going to go with limousine, because those things have blacked out windows anyways. Every time you see one, you notice it, but it doesn't seem out of place that you see it so rarely, because, you know, limousine.
In certain areas. Like, yeah. If I saw a limousine driving down my street, I'd be like, what? You're just like, quinceañera or something? What the hell? What's going on? Like, we don't see limousines in my area, like, ever. Plus, a limousine, that would be a really tall robot. Like, really, really,
it would.
Really tall.
Have you ever seen, the custom limousines? There used to be, there's a band called Static X, and the lead singer used to actually, I don't know if he owned the shop or if he just did the custom work himself, but he would take like a Hummer and put it up on like 44-inch wheels and turn it into a limo on the 44-inch tires. Yeah, it used to be called wussytruck.com. I'm sure it's long gone, but
wow,
that's a Transformer I want to see. I want to see a 38, 50-foot H2 on lifts with 50-inch tires. Like, oh, what's up, Devastator? I got you right here, man.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
All right, and my backup for a limousine is a minivan, a soccer mom car.
Yeah, those are pretty damn common.
I think an airplane, because they don't have to black out the windows, nobody's going to see them.
Yeah, see, we already tried that, and Cyburn over here was all like, oh no, the FAA has regulations that would know exactly who's in their airspace at all times. So you gotta bring it down. Bring it to the ground.
Bring it to the ground, huh?
Bring it back all to right. the ground.
Garbage truck.
Garbage truck. Because no one really garbage looks truck. At him anyways, because no one wants to acknowledge the existence of the garbage
oh
man.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's a good one. Rhett Garb would be pleased.
And you're not going to question him stopping in front of your house, or everyone's house every couple of minutes.
And then, as far as animal, can I go with an insect? Because I think the cockroach...
It's not an animal.
Would be like the perfect disguise for a robot.
You gotta go bigger.
Cockroaches are all over the place here.
Palmetto. Yeah, but see, the first thing somebody wants to do is step on a cockroach, man.
Soundwave did it in the movie. So
scale it up a little bit. Scale it up a little bit.
Scale it up.
Amuse.
I would say a cat. Honestly, sure. I'm going to go with what Swage said. I would say a cat, because they're everywhere.
Three for three?
You see them everywhere. That or a deer, because deer are dead all over the road all the time. And would you question a deer being a robot?
Well, no, you would question why it got why it would get out of the way so fast.
That's true.
Yeah, that would why it wouldn't get run over. Then you'd have issues.
All right, so you guys that are kind of joining a little bit late here, you guys got anything to backtrack a little bit, maybe put up for Ouch My Wallet? Anything you want to share?
Nothing on topic.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything this week, and besides, if I did, man, I'm out on the road. I'm actually driving through Missouri right now, so
way
I couldn't even
family.
Show you anything.
I have nothing on topic, but I can happily go off topic if you'd like me to.
Well,
I can list the Predacons again. We got Razorclaw, and we got...
I'm pretty sure Ouch My Wallet is just for anything you bought. That's not necessarily diving right into the actual topic matter, so feel free.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, back in November... Oh, and I said this the last time I was on. Cards Against Humanity was doing something called Holiday Bullshit. And it's where you pay them $12 and they'll send you 12 gifts over 12 days. Pretty much like, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. So I'm starting to get this stuff in. I'm up to 5 right now. And... the first day was Conspicuous Consumption, which is this pack. And it is 5 Christmas-themed Cards Against Humanity cards. Because, you know, that game is awesome. And then the second day was... where did that little bag go? Ah, I don't have it. I do not know where that little bag went. I have number 2, but I can't find it, which is irritating.
Ooh.
It's actually coal. They sent me a lump of coal. For Christmas, for day 2. Day 3 is this one, which is called Interfaith Circle Jerk. It's again 5 cards in a little pack. Day 4 is Your Shitty Family, again another pack. And then day 5 was Clusterfuck, which is a new game by Cards Against Humanity and by @ Helvetica and @ Dougal on Twitter. And it's essentially it's a card game, but it's essentially a sex game. It's the description says it's a game for fucking your friends.
I like this.
I have not yet had a chance to play it. Live reviews. I would have to play it with people. I have yet to do so, but it looks like a fun game. It looks like a game that personally I wouldn't be too terribly into. But I am looking forward to playing it as soon as I can get people enough to get together to be able to play said game.
How many people do you need for a game like that?
It's
all I heard was sex game, and now you need like a crowd.
It's two to six people.
This is like Saturday Night Special type stuff. You're not just gonna walk around on a Tuesday getting some fucky do action, right?
No. Well, this is it says welcome to the sex party. Your goal tonight is to score 3 times or have one unforgettable threesome. The goal is essentially to get to 3 points. The first person to 3 points wins. And if you manage to create a threesome between 3 people that are playing, then you automatically win. That's because the people...
That's how life works.
Yeah, that's exactly how I play. Well, Clusterfuck is played in 2 phases. First, players go around the table and pass each other sexy notes, which are these ones right here. This little pack. Okay. It says... this one says sup.
Sup.
Yeah. Once each player has passed notes, everyone closes their eyes and points to the people they want to hook up with one or both hands. Then everyone opens their eyes. If 2 players are exclusively pointing at each other, they score, and each gets 1 point. If 3 players are all pointing to one another and forming a threesome, they each get 3 points for their feat of sexual teamwork. The first player or players to get 3 or more points wins the game. A successful threesome immediately ends the game just like Quidditch.
This is a far beyond stereotypical game that nerds will love.
Yes.
Because you literally just said eye contact is equivalent to scoring and winning.
Yes, yeah, exactly. There's
she
no physical
looked at me, dude. She looked at me.
Yeah, there's no physical contact. It looks like a really fun game. It's also a very fast-paced game because like it's only three points. So it's an incredibly fast-paced game, which is a lot of fun. Oh my god. So apparently, in your group, you guys kind of hash it out. The player who recently achieved orgasm goes first.
That's me.
So, yeah. First player. But that's how the card game begins. There's a bunch of really simple rules, which is a lot of fun. There's also, you know, ogling for people who, you know, if you're the sort of person who likes to watch, you can score a point by ogling a hookup instead of hooking up yourself. To ogle a hookup, when everyone closes their eyes, form hand binoculars around your closed eyes and point them at a player you suspect will score. If that player scores, you receive one scorecard.
Wow, rewarding voyeurism. I like this game.
Yes, rewarding voyeurism, yes. With six or more players, the sex gets dirty, and someone begins with a scorching case of chlamydia. Mm. Hand the starting player the chlamydia card, and then everyone draws up the four cards. The chlamydia card can be passed just like every other card. While hooking up, whoever has chlamydia still enjoys having sex and scores points, but their sexual partner does not and receives no points.
Oh, wow.
Unlike note cards, the chlamydia card is not discarded at the end of each round, and the player holding it only draws three new cards from the deck. They then announce their condition and play first in the next round. Players who actually have chlamydia should seek medical attention. I have yet to open any of these, so I don't yet know what they say. But this one is the note card. It says sup. This one is the chlamydia card, so it explains chlamydia. And then this one is a sex position. But I have yet to figure out. I haven't yet opened it yet. It looks like a hell of a lot of fun. I just need to gather enough people together to be able to play this game. And then these are a lot of fun to try and keep everything in line. They all have something to do with, obviously, the 12 Days of Christmas. So this one is the partridge in a pear tree, and then two turtle doves, and three French hens, and you know, so on and so forth. There's stupid, funny little drawings. This one's like a bloody hand with five golden rings. Apparently, there's a puzzle across the entire 12 days, and the first person to figure out what the puzzle is apparently gets some sort of prize. But I'm horrible at puzzles, so I'm probably not going to try. It says it's a really hard one, so it can't just be, oh, these are the 12 days of Christmas listed across the cards. It can't be that simple, because it says it's a hard one, so I'm not sure. I'm probably not going to. A lot of people are up to day six. The website has, like, if you go to holidaybullshit.com, the website actually has up to listed day six is already out. Some people have gotten it. I haven't yet. I've been really fortunate to actually get them. USPS has been really good to me. A lot of other people, not so much. That's it for Cards Against Humanity, at least. I went to Disneyland yesterday, which is part of the reason why I sound like this. I went to Disneyland all day and had a bunch of fun, and then came home and slept for 3 hours, and then went to work this morning.
Was this Disney in Florida or California?
No, California. It's Disneyland, not Walt Disney World. Disneyland is about an hour and a half drive from me, so it's pretty close. So I tend to go, you know, once a month if I can help it. But since it's Christmas time, I did a little bit of my Christmas shopping. And this is kind of a cool thing that Disney has been doing for years. It didn't used to be recently known until Guy Fieri of the Food Network got a hold of it. But Disneyland hand makes candy canes twice a day, or two times a week. And they only make 140 candy canes every single year, or every single day. I managed to get super lucky and got two of them. This is huge. It's bigger than my forearm. It's a pretty big candy cane. I've got this one, which I haven't eaten yet, and this one, which is about half gone, because I want one to eat on Christmas Day, and one I wanted to eat while it was still warm. So this is like half gone, as you can see the size difference between the two of them. But they make candy canes. They make 140 candy canes. Like, they hand make them old fashioned style. You can't get candy canes in the stores like this anymore. They don't make them this way. And usually, like, the candy canes that you buy in the stores are, give or take, 2, 3, 4 weeks old, maybe older. So the peppermint snap is not as strong. And, like, when you can get these warm and fresh and made that morning, they're fantastic. So I bought two of them at $13 each.
Holy crap.
I have a third one here that was not made on that day and actually looks quite a bit different. It's not smooth like the candy canes made that morning. They look like they're rushed. They look like they were just probably hacked together. I don't know if they were handmade or not. But this one was made... It says it's a handcrafted candy cane, so it was probably made by hand, but this one was, like, very rushed and... doesn't look all that terribly pleasing. It's way different, rather, than the daily candy cane. And then my sister is going to absolutely love me because my niece is all of 2 years old and I bought her this sucker for Christmas. So my sister is going to love her. My sister is going to love her. My niece is going to adore me. But... She was carrying around this a Hello Kitty mirror on a stick and acting like it was a lollipop. So I was like, I need to get her a lollipop. So I ended up buying her the biggest one that they had.
That's what Aunt Nell do.
Yes, that's exactly what Aunt and Uncles do. And I'm proud and very happy to spoil her rotten. Obviously I was at Disneyland, so I got some Disney treats that they made there, peanut brittle, because Daddy loves peanut brittle, so, hey, Christmas time. And I bought, Ghirardelli recently has set up in Disneyland, so I bought this gigantic 80-count bag of peppermint bark, because their peppermint bark is absolutely delicious. Literally, it's just a bunch of Disney garbage that I have. That's about it to this week.
So you went grocery shopping, basically.
I went Christmas shopping and then had a bunch of fun in the meantime. I bought a new Disney pin. It's not all that exciting. I bought Wonderland tea. This is actually a gift for a friend, but it's Alice in Wonderland themed tea. And she likes tea bags, so I figured, hey, why not?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She likes tea bags. I prefer loose leaf tea, so we kind of hash it out sometimes and get mad at each other because of our preferences.
But, I think tea bags are probably the strangest, but yet my favorite thing to give people.
I hate tea bags. I do. I drink loose leaf tea, so right. I drink, you know.
Now, is it because of the taste or the feel?
The taste.
Yes, Chad.
Shut up, dude.
I'm the host. I say whatever. Please continue, Amber. I'm sorry for Chad's.
What are you talking about?
You're talking about your tea. What is it? What is it?
What are you? Explain. Okay. What are you trying to warn me about, dude? What am I doing?
Nothing. You're not doing anything wrong. being himself. Mike is being himself.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm being amicable, and I am extending the conversation the way it should. Thank you, Chad.
No. Oh,
it's
no.
Okay. It's all recorded. We're not live talking about tea bags.
We're not teabagging anybody, dude.
Exactly. That's what you think, but that's okay. So, anyway.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
Sorry. I'm kind of dying. I'm trying to get over a cold.
Choking up a little bit?
I'm trying to get over a cold. I actually, what time is it? 5:57. So, I literally woke up, half an hour ago. I came home from work and it just took a nap because it was I got 3 hours of sleep and Disneyland yesterday, so super crazy busy and exhausted. Anyway, I don't know. I prefer loose leaf. She prefers tea bags because they're easier while she's at work. And I personal preference, I think, for tea. And I tend to. What is that noise? Oh, he disappeared.
Yeah. Bye, Chad. Bye, Chad.
We lost somebody.
We did.
We lose him every time.
Oh,
yeah. That's his thing. He disappears.
All right, so Duran is wondering, he wants to know, mechanical beasts versus techno-organic beasts, which is better?
Techno-organic?
Yes.
Because they're more rare, I think. They're more rare for me.
Because an animal needs to be able to move like a being with muscles, and a mechanical animal cannot.
That's a valid point.
That's it? The Beast Wars guy, that's it? One sentence? Come on, man.
Come on, that was...
I want some scientific know-how, man. You should know, the total engineering of this whole gig.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't like Zoid Transformers, but,
Zoids are fantastic, shut up.
I like them turning into real animals.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that one. I like some of the idea of the techno-organic, versus the mechanical. I mean, obviously, I like mechanical just because it's more robotic and hardcore looking. But if it's going to be a beast, then it might as well just be straight up look exactly like a beast. Duran's saying he would go with mechanical because they'd be more powerful, more impervious to attack, and no soft tissue. Any thoughts on that one? Any counterpoints you guys want to toss at him?
Did you watch Terminator 2?
That is a pretty valid point, I have to say. That is...
I hate
that is called freezing up.
My internet just...
Amber! Hey!
Yay, I came back!
Yeah. No wonder we couldn't hear you. You were stuffing your face.
Oh, shut up! It's peppermint bark. It's fantastic.
Oh. Shut up. Do they have peppermint-flavored tea bags at Disney World?
Peppermint, I don't know. I've never been to Disney World.
Or Disneyland, I'm sorry.
You've
never been to Disney World?
No, I have not. I live in California. Ventured out toward Florida twice, once for BotCon and once to visit a friend. Even though I was on the property for BotCon 2010, I didn't go to Disney World because I didn't factor it into my vacation plans. Which irritates me because I would have really liked to see it.
13. I don't like Disney World.
I want to go so bad. I'm such a Disney nut. I want to go so bad. Duran makes a valid point about the mechanical. However, I think I'm going to side with Sideburn in that techno organic would behave more like a regular insect would or a regular animal would in any case. Techno organics, though, aren't really all that popular. Or not popular, but less common. Because obviously, you know, Beast Wars versus, I think that, what, two techno organics we have? Or is it just one? I forget. I don't know. I don't pay attention very much to the animals. And
well, techno-organic is generally considered what Beast Machines was, and then
okay.
And what Black Arachnia was in animated.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's become a blanket term now for the organic beast modes as well.
Okay. I don't know. I personally prefer techno-organic simply because I think the techno-organic side would move more fluidly and would behave more like a regular animal or insect as opposed to a mechanical being who all of a sudden has an animal mode and then has to learn how to function with it.
Yeah. And then I would argue that in the realm of robots that shapeshift, there's nothing to say that just because they appear to have soft tissue, that it's not as impervious as armor plating.
Mm-hmm. Well, techno-organic, yeah, it's I believe it wouldn't be all that terribly much stronger than Or weaker, I guess, than the just straight up mechanical. It gains armor. I don't know. It gains armor. It's got to be better in some way, I guess.
I hate headstrong guys.
Still, we still hate headstrong.
His stupid feet stay up in the back of his legs.
Oh no!
Before you have a total meltdown.
Watch this. Watch here. I stick them back up in there. And they just flip back out.
Oh no!
Screw you, Headstrong. You're the worst. You're the worst Predacon.
Alright, so
hope that you
anyway, this Friday we got coming up at 8 PM Eastern live. We're gonna go ahead. We're gonna have a 2013 year in review roundtable episode. Because
no tables involved.
Yeah, no actual tables will most likely be on camera. Yeah. However, it will be a roundtable format. So definitely you want to check that out for our live listeners now, or if you happen to download us as we get it posted up later on. We will not be podcasting next week due to the holidays, so this will be the last time in 2013, it looks like, that TFYLP will be on the air, unless maybe the 31st falls on a Tuesday. Not sure, I don't have a calendar. Don't really care. Because it's Christmas, yo. It's Christmas. Everything after Christmas is a new year anyway. So I think we should wrap up this one and let everybody get doing their doings. And so I'm going to sign off. I am Swage66, and we got signing off also. I was letting you do your own thing there. See, you can't do the plug and you can't even sign off.
I'm not used to it.
Cyber 2. And we got Amber. Would you like to do your own?
Yes, my baby, man.
All right, everybody. Have a good night.
And also Chad. He's gone.
Nasty.
Bye, Chad.
Aww.
Screw Chad.
Sorry, Chad. He came back for a minute. And then disappeared again. He's good at that.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.